right. Good morning, everybody. It started out kind of weak, and then it escalated. It was good. Hey, so we're continuing a series this week called Time. And it's been really, I've enjoyed it. And, you know, I got to be honest. I always want to express kind of where I'm coming from. I've had several of you Skies, if you're from up north, come up to me and just talk about how it's maybe some of the stuff has impacted you. And some of this is strong. Like, if we're just honest, because we squander time, right? And we're not always great stewards of our time. And I just want to be kind of honest. Like, this is something that I'm struggling with. This is something that every time I'm reading and writing this stuff, I'm like, man, I got to do better, right? So I want y'all to understand that too, right? This is not something that I can speak authoritatively on. This is what you need to do. This is what we need to do, right? So I just always want to kind of preface and let you guys know, hey, man, we're in this together, and the struggle is real. So we're continuing the series this week called Time. And what's been cool for the first two weeks, we kind of talked about time from the perspective of what we can control about our time. Because we have, to a great degree, we have a lot of control over our time and how we spend it, how we use it and manage it. So the first week, you know, we kind of talked about the difference between what's urgent and what's important. Because we get sideswiped so many times by things that are urgent, and they're not really urgent if we're completely honest. And if we focused more of our times on things that actually matter, things that have lasting value, we'd be so much better for it. But for whatever reason, we like to live in Urgentville, where we're just constantly putting out fires, right? And so we talked about that the first week. If you didn't get it, it's on iTunes, right? It's always the go-to. And then last week, we kind of talked about, as a continuation of that to a degree, we talked about how important it is to take time to think. So it's time to think. And most people just don't. Like, they like to keep themselves so occupied with entertainment and things and stuff that they don't ever take time to think. Think about who it is maybe that they want to become. And we talked about the connection between thinking and meditation. And meditation really is just deep thinking, focused thinking. And that's a beautiful thing to think about who you are and who God wants you to be and what it takes to get from A to B. Right? That was somewhat poetic. You can write that down. It's going to end up on a meme somewhere. It's a miracle. And so that's what we talked about the first 2 weeks, and how we have a great deal of control over those things. This week, we're going to shift gears just a little bit and talk about time in a way that maybe there are times where we don't have control over the times that we're going through. Right? Have you ever experienced that? And man, I am the worst about this. Like, when things aren't going the way that I want them to go, I'm like, what? Right? Like, what is going on here? And the bottom line is that there are just certain things, there are seasons in your life, there are times in your life that you won't have control over the circumstances that happen. You won't have control over the things that take place in your life. And what we've got to learn to do is respond appropriately to those times. And I'll be honest, like, we probably don't do the best that we should and could, because I think it's a maturing thing. It's a maturation process. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about specifically how, when the time that we anticipate and the time that actually takes place, there's a gap between the two. It's like, this is what we want God to do in our lives, or this is where we want our lives to be, and it's not happening as soon as we want it to happen. And there's a disconnect between what we expect and what is reality. And so what we've got to learn to do is kind of where to live and how to respond and where to be in that gap between expectation and reality. And I think we all probably had situations in our life. Have you ever had a situation in your life where, like, you expected something to happen now, or, you know, and even if you're being reasonable, like, oh, yeah, it'll happen in a month or two or three or whatever, and then 3 years later you're like, what's going on? Right? And you can get incredibly frustrated with that, because we're talking about good things. Like, you're expecting good things to happen and you're working really hard toward it. And for whatever reason, out of your control, it doesn't happen in the time that you think it should happen. And we've just got to remember that God's a lot smarter than we are. And what's really cool about this is, if you have the privilege of hindsight, you can look back over the course of your lives and see how God really did protect you from you. Because if the things that happened that you wanted to happen in the time that you wanted to happen for, you wouldn't have been ready for it. Like, you would not have been prepared for the thing that you wanted. But God, through his grace, takes time for us to mature and kind of grow so that we're ready for the opportunities when they present themselves. But we'll get to that later, right? It can be incredibly frustrating and incredibly just bewildering and confusing when you're doing the right things and you feel like you're on the right path and things aren't happening as quickly as you think they should happen. And we just got to learn to embrace the process and to be patient. And that's what we'll talk about. Those are the points, if you want to get, like, foreshadowing and all that stuff. If we take an honest assessment of the situation that we're in, and it's not happening as quickly as we think it should, this is what's important to remember. God's timing is so much better than our timing. God uses a Rolex. We use a Timex. His watch is so much better than our watch. My son loves watches. He's 10, so we buy him crap watches, just junk, because you don't buy him anything decent at all because he just trashes them. But the watches that we buy him are so bad that they don't keep time. It's like every day he's got to reset it because it doesn't keep time very well. And that's kind of like us, right? Like our ability to control and manage and think about time and how we process time is just different. And God's time is like Greenwich time. You know, Greenwich is where the world clock is, and it's perfect. It's succinct. You know exactly what it is. And that's God, and that's us. We're a Timex. God's a Rolex, right? Just remember that man, if it's not working in the time that you think it should be working in, God's probably doing something. And that needs to be the backdrop to our understanding of time, is that God is always at work, even when it seems silent. He's always at work. And man, it's hard when you're in that season and it feels like nothing's happening and it feels like God's quiet, and you even start to have the questions like, man, I wonder how God really feels about me, or I wonder if I'm doing the right thing. Like, isn't that an incredibly frustrating thing? But we just have to remember that through all of that, in every season, God is at work. It's good stuff. God's timing is just so much better than our timing. I heard a quote one time, you've probably heard this, with respect to God's timing, he's never early. Never early. Well, he's rarely early. We'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Sometimes he's early, rarely. He's never late, but he's always right on time, right? He's rarely early, he's never late, but he's always right on time. And if we can just remember that, kind of as we're going through our lives and we're faced with situations and maybe you're kind of, there's a delay or things aren't happening in the time that you think it should, just remember that God's never late. He's always right on time. He probably won't be early, but he's going to show up, and there's going to be a way for it to all work out, because it always does. It always does. What we've got to be intentional about doing with this whole time thing is just to remember that God loves us, that he's patient with us. He's compassionate toward us. I think that God's timing and the way that it's different than ours is really driven by the fact that he's compassionate toward us, and he's patient with us, and he loves us enough to protect us from us. Because like we talked about, you know, if God gave us everything we wanted in the time that we wanted it, it would wreck us. Like, I've got, my son is 10, and he is legitimately convinced that his first car is going to be a Jeff Corvette. That's what he calls it. Because we watched Cars too much when he was a kid. So he got a little, you know, one of the little Matchbox cars, and it was called Jeff Corvette. So he legitimately thinks that his first car is going to be a Corvette. And I'm like, you have lost your ever-loving mind. You don't give somebody something that they can't handle, that they're not ready for, that they're not mature enough to take responsibility for. And the same thing is true in our lives. Like, God knows what we're able to handle and knows what we're mature enough for and responsible enough for, and that's what he'll give to us. But if we're not mature enough and we're not doing the things that we need to do, then he's not going to give it to us out of season, out of time, right? That's what time is, and that's why it's so important. We've got to learn about the things to do in that gap and how to grow and mature through all of that. I think one of the really important aspects of this is just to remember, again, how much God loves us and how compassionate he is toward us. There's a verse in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, that really kind of points to this with respect to time and how that all works out and how God does things on a different schedule than us, but it's because of his love for us. So 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it says this: the Lord is not slow about his promise. Sometimes it feels like he is. Like, if we're just being honest in church, right? Sometimes it feels slow, but he's not slow about his promise, as some count slowness. The way that we see it and the way we understand it is that God is slow, but he's not slow as it is with respect to his promise. But he is patient toward you. He protects you from you and me from me. Like, because he loves us and he's patient with us, and he knows what we can handle and what we can't handle. And so he's patient toward us, not wishing for any of us to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And the verse is specifically talking about God's judgment, how he wants everybody to know him. But you kind of get a heart for how God loves us, and the things that he wants for us are because he cares about us, and the timing that he gives to us is because he cares about us. He wants us to be able to handle the things that we go through. He is the master craftsman of the blueprints of our lives. And if you've ever seen a house built, the contractor would never call in the roofer before the foundation was laid, right? There's an order to things. There's a way that things have to be done. So you lay the foundation, so they do all the concrete work first, and then you can call in the framers and the roofers and all of that stuff. Certain things have to happen first, and I think in our lives, it's the same way. Like, there's got to be a foundation. Then you can start building on, and things can happen, and you can understand time and how time works when you think about it like that. So we're going to talk about just two specific things today about what to do kind of in that gap between expectation and reality, and when time isn't going like you think time should go. And every time, it's funny, every time we say the word time, I think about, what's the 90s song Seal? Time keeps on slipping, slipping into the future. Sometimes you just got to go with it. Because the first point is to embrace the process. And that's what we were doing right there, just embracing the process. Man, if I could sing, man, y'all would be in trouble. It would be over. Because I would just sing the entire message. I'd start. Anyway, first point, embrace the forging process. And again, this kind of, it just comes back to understanding that when things aren't happening like we think they should happen, there's usually a reason why. And the why may be that God is kind of molding you and forming you and shaping you and developing your character so that you're able to handle whatever it is that comes on the other side of that, right? And if you're a nerd like me, I watch the dumbest things. Of course, you know, sports, ESPN, most of the time. But every once in a while, we'll switch over to like the Science Channel or some, you know, goofy thing like that. And there's a show that comes on called How It's Made. Have you ever seen that? And it just shows you how certain products are made. And it's so fascinating to me how you see kind of the mass production of stuff. But one of the coolest things that I've ever seen is how they like, for years, hundreds of years, you know, I guess back in the 1800s, they would take steel and they would forge it. They would shape it. And they would make it kind of whatever shape they wanted it to be. And part of that process was melting the steel, the metal, getting it so hot that it would melt that then you could shape it. And I think about our lives and I think about the way that God works in us, and I think about kind of him forming us and forging us. Sometimes that there takes some heat for that to happen. It takes some difficulty. It takes some circumstances that are completely out of our control for that to happen. And so I think it's just important to remember that if it's not going like you think it should go, there's usually a reason why. And it may just be that God is preparing you better for what it is that is to come, right? Maybe it's just that there are a few things that you need to mature in. There are a few areas that you need to grow in. Maybe you've got some stuff that you just really need to work on before you get to where it is that you think you should be, and God gives you what it is that you think you need, right? That was free, 90 free. Of course, we could start charging for sermons. That would be cool, right? Just kidding. That just messed up everything Daniel said about the offering and not being abused. So, While you're waiting on timing to play out, one of the things that's just really important to understand is that God is preparing us, he's forging us, and he's kind of molding us into who it is that he wants us to be. And while we're waiting in this process, you've got to be ready for the thing that comes when the thing comes, but if you don't focus on growing while you're in that gap, you won't be ready for the thing that comes. I mean, it seems really kind of redundant, but it makes sense if you think about it. So it's just important. I think so many times we try to just rush the process, but there's a quote I heard one time that you've probably heard, and it says that the journey is the destination. And we're so quick. We want so bad to get to the destination. If you ever go on a road trip, like, man, we just go. Like, we're just hammering it, and we don't ever take time to look around. My grandpa takes too much time to look around. Like, he's driving down the interstate at 80, just like staring at the mountains, right? Like, a little bit of focus on the journey is good too, right? And the destination. But there's obviously a balance to that. But we're in such a rush to get to where it is that we're going that we don't embrace the process. We don't embrace the journey. And I think it's important to do that because you learn and you grow through all of the struggles that you go through. If we believe that scripture is true, then we have to believe that everything that happens, happens for a reason. Even the bad things, even the negative things, even things that you would not choose for yourself, if we're believers in Scripture, if we're believers in Jesus, then we have to believe that those things happen for a reason. And that reason is usually to get us to where it is that God wants us to be. And what's dangerous is when we start to look at those things as kind of, you know, maybe those are things that are distracting us, or maybe those are things that are keeping us from where we're trying to go. They may be things that are propelling you to where it is that you need to go. So your setback is really just the setup. Think about that while I take a drink. That's how you buy time, right? So if we just, it's really that simple. If we believe that God is who he says he is and he can do what he says he can do, then the things that happen, this is what's frightening, is that nothing is ever really bad. Everything ultimately lends itself to helping us to become who it is that God wants us to be, even if it is negative or perceived as negative, right? So God's timing is just, it's different than ours, but it's always purposeful. There's always a meaning. There's always a method to the madness. And if things are out of control, so to speak, and not the way that you would do it, it's still good to embrace it. It's still good to remember that God is working and molding you to become the person that he wants you to be. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says this, and we've heard this one if you've been in church, because we like to use this one, I think, a little bit out of context, but that's fine. It says, "No temptation has overtaken you, but such as common to man." And what's funny about that, I love the way he kind of just leans in and comes in strong, because you notice some people act like their struggle is so much more real than your struggle. And so Paul's like, "No temptation has overtaken you, but such as common to man." Hey, man, we all got struggles, right? So stop being so selfish and acting like you're the only one with problems. Focus on somebody else a little bit, and your problems won't be as big. But what do I know? So no temptation has overtaken you, but such is common to man. We all experience these. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. And I think what's really important about that, something that we can draw from that, is, man, maybe you're in this season and you don't know what you're going to do and you don't know how it's going to play out. Just remember that God absolutely loves you. He cares about you. He is faithful. And he's going to make a way out. Like, there's always a light at the end of the tunnel. There's always kind of a path, even if it's, you know, left and right and down and up. You're going to make it. You just got to stay on the path. Remember that God's faithful. And that's ultimately, you're going to make it, right? You're not the only one that's experiencing. Because I think we isolate ourselves sometimes. We're like, oh, man, I'm the only one that's going through this. And you're just not. And that's why it's so important to be part of a community like this, because you find other people who are struggling with the things that you're struggling with, and you can encourage each other, you can challenge each other. Sometimes you can kick each other in the butt, and that's good, right? Because we need that sometimes. Sometimes we get all up in our feelings, and when you get in your feelings, you get lethargic. You just don't want to do anything, and sometimes you need somebody that's coming along with you, and right? Just a swift kick in the rear. Nothing does it better, right? So the whole idea is simply that God won't put more on us than we can handle. But if we believe that, then it really kind of hinges on timing, right? He's putting some on us, but in his time, he'll help us grow and help us get to the next thing. And he'll put some more on us and help us grow. It's just, I hate to always come back. I have the same references over and over, illustrations. It's always like sports and football and gym stuff. And my son being a knucklehead. That's all I've got, right? But it's just like, it's like weights, right? When you start lifting weights, like when you first start, you don't lift very much. Like, the bar's heavy. And then you start adding a little bit. Over time, you can lift a little bit more and a little bit more. You get stronger and stronger. And before it's all said and done, if you're consistent and you're faithful, which most people aren't, right? That's another story. We should have used that at the beginning of the year, because you know how that goes. It's so funny to me. It never ceases to amaze me. Guys, specifically guys at the gym, are always like, man, you know, I'm trying to get big and I'm trying to do this and protein. And it, you know, they come to the gym like 1 week and then they skip 2 weeks and they come for another week and you don't see them for 3 more weeks. I'm like, you ain't ever going to get big doing that, bro. Faithful and committed. And I think the same thing is true. If we're faithful and we're committed and we keep doing the right things, then you get stronger and you get strong and you can add a little bit more weight and you can carry a little bit more of the burden and you get stronger and you're ready for whatever it is that comes next, right? That's the first one. Just embrace the forging process. The second point is this. We're only doing 2 points today, which is good because we usually do 3. So you're supposed to be like, yeah, all right, going to Posadas early. It's funny. We've been next to Posadas for like 5 years, and I think we've been maybe 3 times. It's just not Elson Bro. It's not the same. Can we do corporate endorsements from the stage? I don't know. I better get a kickback for that one. Number two. Patience is a virtue. Man, we've heard this all of our lives. Patience is a virtue. And you know what I realize about me? I tell my children all the time to be patient, but I'm not very good at being patient. And I think it's easy for us to tell other people to be patient, but when it comes time for us to be patient, how you doing? How you doing? I could do better for sure. And I think patience is one of those things that's really hard. It's really difficult, especially kind of with respect to timing and wanting things to work out. And again, you believe you're doing the right thing, and you believe that you're on the right path, and you believe that you're trying to become the person that God wants you to become, and things still aren't going like you think that they necessarily should. It's really hard to be patient if that's the situation of your life, right? But you got to be patient, just like you tell your kids, because they don't understand half the time things that are going on, but you still tell them to be patient. I know I do, right? Don't do as I do, do as I say. Coming back to that first verse that we read in 2 Peter, it says that God is patient toward us. He's patient toward us. And at the end of the day, our goal should just be to reciprocate that. Like, if God is patient toward us, then we should be patient toward him, even if we don't understand what's going on and we don't understand how this is going to play out and what's working. Just be patient. Because, again, when you get to the other side of it, you get to look back and you see, oh, yeah, that worked out. Man, it's like the older I get, I'm almost 34 in a month and a half, right? And the older I get, the more that I see that this is absolutely the truth. Like, you see, if things would have happened when I wanted it to happen, man, it would have been a disaster. But because God is patient with me and things take longer than I think they should take, I'm more prepared for the things that do take place. And it's not a disaster. It actually works out. And if we just remember that it's going to work out, you just got to be patient. Be patient. Be patient. Shelley knows sign language, and she taught us. I remember her teaching like a 2-year-old sign language, and I don't know how they get it, but they do. And so it's be patient. And so it's like over and over, be patient. And sometimes I think it would be okay for us to stand in front of a mirror and tell ourselves to be patient. Don't rush it, because when you rush it, you get ahead of God. And you get ahead of the grace that sustains you. And you can, I think that you can step out from the protection and covering of God if you go too far too fast. And that's just not a good place to be. You want to be in this sweet spot where the grace of God sustains you, and it'll help you to be patient, and it'll prepare you and forge you to be the person that you need to be. Being patient doesn't mean that we don't do anything, but it does mean that we're waiting, and we're expectantly waiting for God to do what only God can do. Patient isn't passive, right? Just write that down. It'll really resonate later. There's a story. It's somewhat of a story, somewhat of a joke. You've probably heard it. It talks about a guy that was stranded on an island, and he prays. He's like, God, man, I need you to save me from this island. And so he says this prayer, and he's waiting patiently on God to save him from this island. And then a helicopter flies by, and it's got a ladder drops down. And he's like, nope, waiting on God to save me. Right? And then a cruise ship comes by, and they blow the horn, and they send a lifeboat, and he's like, nope, 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 waiting on God to save me. And of course, the guy starves to death and dies on the island. And he gets to heaven, and he says, God, what's the deal? You know, I was patient, I was waiting, I was doing what you wanted me to do, so I thought, and you didn't save me. And he's like, man, I sent you a helicopter and a cruise boat, ship, whatever. And I think there's a lesson in there for us. It's like patience isn't necessarily passivity. It's not just being passive and doing, and Christians are bad about this. Like, because we're waiting on God, and we're waiting for the will of God, and we're waiting on what God wants us to do, we do nothing. And that's not the will of God, right? The will of God is for you to do the last right thing that God told you to do. And you don't stop doing stuff because you're waiting on the next thing. You keep doing what you're supposed to do until the next thing comes. And man, we're really notorious for that. So if that's you, stop. Just knock that off. Being patient, it doesn't mean that we don't do anything. It means we keep doing the last right thing until the next thing comes. And don't, man, I get, this is a frustration, a pet peeve. Apparently, I have a lot of frustrations. They don't surface until I start talking about it. This is like free therapy for me, man. I love it, right? But one of the biggest frustrations in my life is that when people, they kind of are just always looking for the next thing, and they're always looking for something that shimmers and shines. Why don't you be faithful where you're at? Right? Why don't you be committed with what you've got, and then maybe the next thing will happen, but if it doesn't, it's fine, because you can be faithful with where you're at and what you've got, and that's enough. That should be sufficient. But we live in a world that's like shiny objects and flashing lights, and we always want the next thing. I'm convinced, I believe this wholeheartedly, that when we get to heaven and we get to see everything as it really is, I just think that the people who were like quiet and faithful and steady and not the flashy and showy and flamboyant and boisterous people are the ones that are going to be really exalted in heaven, people that are going to be really honored in heaven, because they were just steady plotters, man. They were just faithful, not, you know, pew, 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 and needing attention and all of the things that we need as Americans. But that's just my opinion. I don't know how much truth there is to that. So, which is kind of important that there be some truth. I think there's a lot of truth to that, actually. So if we can figure out a way to incorporate this into our lives, then waiting isn't waiting. Waiting is winning, right? If we can figure out a way to be patient during all of the seasons of our life and all of the circumstances of our life, then waiting, it's not just waiting. It's winning. Like, and so I hate how people, I feel like people are always trying to psychoanalyze me. Do you ever do that? Like, you're having conversations with people, and it starts out pretty good, and then they kind of lean in and give you the crazy eye, and they're like, how you really doing? I'm like, what are you, trying to get some dirt? I'll give you some dirt. I'm struggling with anger, and you're making it boil up, right? Like, we're just being hot, and I'm just kidding. But I feel like people are always trying to psychoanalyze me and trying to get some kind of, like, inside edge or something. I don't know what it is. But so when they ask us, how you really doing? You'd be like, I'm winning at life, sucker. Because waiting is winning. Waiting is winning. It's not just doing nothing. It's winning because it's preparing you for what is to come. It's like the off season. What you do in the off season determines what you do in the real season. How you train, how you prepare, how you take care of yourself in the off season determines how you do in the regular season, right? For all you sports, I saw the sports guys like, yeah. Like, man, it's hype. We're going to get us some Rocky music. Let's go. Just kidding. There's a really popular verse in the Old Testament. And I'm not, if you want to get some of that dun, 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 that'd be fine by me. There's a really popular verse in the Old Testament that I think, man, this is one of those life verses. It's one of those that challenges us and inspires us to no end. It says, Isaiah 40:31, it says, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. And man, I think we just need to remember that sometimes. Like, man, waiting is winning, and he's preparing us. You're going to renew your strength. You're going to be ready for whatever comes next, for the next opportunity that takes place in your life. And then it follows up. It says, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I just thought, that is powerful, man. Like, and I don't know what season of life you're in. Maybe you're tired. And it's probably because you're trying to run ahead of where God wants you to be and what it is that God's doing. I mean, you just need to wait and win, wait and win. And God will refresh you and sustain you and help you to go where it is that you need to go, where he wants you to go, in the timing that he wants you to go there. So wait upon the Lord. Man, again, we're so bad about just like busy. And we feel like busyness is productivity, but it's usually counterproductive, right? Anybody else struggle with that one? Because I'll be honest, like, I feel like I'm getting a lot done when I'm busy. But if you look back at the end of the day, you're like, man, I didn't really get a whole lot done. I was busy all day, but what really was accomplished that matters? So don't be so busy. Wait. Wait upon the Lord. He'll renew your strength. You'll rise up with wings like an eagle. Hey, right? And, you know, there's so many fascinating things about eagles that we could talk about. Maybe we'll do a whole series on eagles. I went to New Diana, so technically I'm an eagle, right? By default. They shall run and not be weary. Shelly's like, oh, God. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And I think that's the goal, right? When it comes to timing and kind of the expectation gap, here's the expectation and here's the reality and here's the gap. This is where most of us live, right? That's what we should strive for. Man, just to wait on God. God, what do you want me to do? Who it is that you want me to become? Why aren't things happening the way that I think they should happen? And what do I need to do about that? And he'll renew our strength. We'll rise up with wings like an eagle. We'll run and not grow weary. Because I think a lot of people are running and you're really tired, right? I see so many people just like, oh, I'm tired. Well, maybe it's because you're doing things the wrong way. Maybe you're out in front of where God wants you to be. And what's really cool about that verse is the word wait. It says those that wait upon the Lord. It can be interchanged with the word hope. Like if you go back to the original, the Hebrew. And so it's not that we're just waiting on the Lord. We're actually hoping. And hope is such a powerful word. It kind of brings a whole new life and understanding to that phrase. Because we don't just wait. Because waiting seems kind of, I'm just waiting. I hate waiting on people. You ever do, like, you're supposed to be somewhere at 6:30 and they text you at 6:35 and say, on my way? Ooh. Am I the only one that has struggles in this church? Good Lord. It drives me. Hey, I hate waiting on people. But if I knew they were bringing me something and there was a little bit of hope, I'd be like, all right, I can wait 5 more minutes. And hope, it just kind of shifts our perspective, right? Like when we're hoping for something, it gives us this ability to sustain and endure and keep on and be faithful and committed through maybe just a little bit more. I can go just a little bit more. And if you live your life like that, when seasons are hard and times are hard, I can go a little bit more. And you go a little bit more and you're like, I can go a little bit more. And you go a little bit more and things are still kind of hard, but you're starting to make it and it's starting to, you're growing and you're maturing and you're changing. You're like, I can go a little bit more. And sometimes that's how you get through the hard seasons. Man, I don't ever want to paint Christianity as this with a picture of everything pleasant and rosy all the time, because sometimes it's messy. And sometimes stuff happens that just stinks, man. And sometimes things happen, people pass on, and circumstances do this or that. And sometimes you just got to get through it one step at a time. I can go a little bit more. I can go a little bit more, right? And you hope, and you've got this expectation that whatever happens in life, God is good. And you're going to make it one baby step at a time, but you're going to make it, right? I saw a video the other day. It was a woman that was like 92 years old, finished a marathon. She didn't break any records, but she finished it one step at a time, right? That should be us. And so as we kind of wrap up this thing today, I just want us to remember, man, I understand that all of our circumstances are different. Like what you're waiting for and kind of what the timing isn't working out for in your life is probably different than what's going on in my life. But I think the process should be the same for all of us, that we should all embrace that process. Just remember that God is forging our character, and be patient. Maybe you're waiting on a career situation to work out. Maybe you've kind of just been in the season. Maybe you just graduated from college and you don't know what the next move is for you. I don't know what it is, but I just know that you should embrace the process and be patient. Maybe you're waiting. This is speaking of being passive, or not being passive, but being patient. Maybe you're waiting on a spouse. You never, it's funny how we get it when it comes to this. Don't be passive when it comes to a spouse, right? You got to be a little bit aggressive at sometimes. Put yourself out there. Not weird aggressive. Let's just clarify. But if you were passive, like, God, I'm waiting on a spouse, but you never put yourself out there, and you never introduce yourself to people, then you're never going to meet anybody, and that's never going to happen for you, right? You get the difference between patience and passive. And so maybe you're waiting on a spouse. Maybe we've got couples in the church that they've kind of been waiting for a family for a few years, and things are starting to happen, and Motown is doubling. It's crazy. Don't drink. Listen, if you don't want to get pregnant, do not drink the water. Male, female, doesn't matter. I mean, people are getting pregnant left and right, and the only connection is the church, so I don't know. I don't know what they did. But maybe you're waiting on a family. Maybe you're waiting on a spouse. Maybe you're waiting on a career situation. I don't know. Maybe you're just waiting on a situation to resolve. Just be patient. Embrace the process. Remember that God is good, that He's way smarter than you and me, way smarter than us. And so if it's not working like you think it should work, there's probably a reason why. My son is Helpy Helperton. He loves to help, which usually means he gets in the way. Anybody else know what I'm talking about, right? You love it when your kids want to be hands-on and help, but man, it's like, at a certain point, you're like, move, I got to get this done, right? But he loves to help. And so when things aren't going together like he thinks they should, his mentality is use a bigger hammer, right? Use more force. And I told him one time, and I've told him 1,000 times since, if it's not working, there's a reason why. If it's not shutting, maybe something's stopping it from shutting. If it's not opening, maybe it's caught up somehow. If it's not working, maybe there's a reason why. And in our lives, if it's not working, maybe there's a reason why. Like, take some time to think about that gap. Like, who is it that you are, and who is it that God wants you to be? What are some things that you could change? What are some things that you could do better? What are some ways that you could mature so that you're able to handle the responsibility when the responsibility comes your way? If it's not working, there's usually a reason why. Amen? Let me pray for us. Father, we absolutely love you. God, we thank you so much for everything that you do for us. God, even when you don't do it in the time or the way that we think it should be done, God, I pray that you would help us to trust you, to remember that you're good, that you're in control, that your patience toward us isn't a lack of love toward us. It's really a greater deal of love toward us, that you're preparing us and you're maturing us and growing us for the things, the opportunities that you're going to present to us down the road. God, I pray that you would help us to embrace that process, God, the forging process, and to be patient. God, help us to be patient, to not run ahead of you or to get out from under that covering of your grace and where it is that you sustain us in that sweet spot of grace. God, I pray that you would help us just to wait on you in certain seasons. God, not being passive, but being patient, trusting that you are good, trusting that you're compassionate toward us, and that everything that we go through will find value and purpose in it, and we'll become the people that you want us to be, and then we'll do the things that you want us to do. Jesus, we absolutely love you, and it's in your precious name we pray, and everybody said, amen.